Oh yeah, we're back. We're back. Welcome everybody to the latest Motor Millennials podcast episode. I'm Zach Rothenberger, as always, with the great Anthony Lucci, bringing in on the latest episode. You know, we had a couple of weeks off in between our last episode, which was the interview with Bobby Fazio. You know, how have you been, Lucci? I mean, the air is getting crisp here in the northeast of the United States. Some good ETs. This is great performance weather, if you ask me.
It is good performance weather, and I think we're getting ready to go down to the track and get some passes in before the really cold weather gets here in a couple weekends. Right, Zach? We're going to be over at Maple Grove at Test and Tune.
That's right. Yeah, Saturday, October 16th for a Test and Tune, and then Sunday, October 17th for their Boobash Halloween-themed bracket race. So yeah, we're really looking forward to it. And for those who are not around the northeastern region of the United States, I mean, this is prime time drag racing weather as far as performance for these cars. The air is crisp, the humidity is low, the DA is low. Yeah, the temperature is just about right, 50, 60 degrees, maybe a high of 70. It's there's less rain typically. I mean, this is the time. And unfortunately it only lasts like about a month, but
yeah. And like you're saying at the Boo Bash, the ETs, some of them are a little spooky. They might get you.
That's right. Yeah. Be on the lookout.
And watch the Dodge Demons.
That's right. That's right. Oh yeah. They're creepy. But before we get into the main content of today's episode, as always, we'd like to do some shout outs to some of our previous podcast episode guests that we've had on, or just in general friends of the podcast. We want to give a shout out to Kelly Kondratic, who started Kelly and Marina Garlic, who owns the Top Alcohol Dragster. Kelly is starting to make her license runs this past weekend out in St. Louis. The weather wasn't the best, so I know they weren't looking to get all of her license runs completed. I think she only made one due to weather, but saw the video on social media. She did a great job, and just congrats to her. It's a huge step going from, you know, running Super Street 1090 in the quarter mile to a 5 second quarter mile. So kudos to her. Want to give another shout out to Jake Knarr, another previous guest of ours. He recently bought a Super Pro Dragster, and this past weekend at Maple Grove, he won on Saturday and on Sunday. So the guy probably hasn't had the car for a month, maybe, and he's already won two races. So it's good stuff, you know, keep it up, and great to hear that. And, Mike Gironi, with the Fiat altered funny car contraption, was down at Maryland International Raceway this past weekend, and I believe it was his career best ET. He ran a 6.79. He's still looking for his first ever 200 mile per hour pass, and I believe he will be at the Boobash race, so that would be perfect time for him to break that 200 mile per hour barrier there. But you know, it was great to see that from him. Nice clean run, 6.79. It's flying, and you know, he's rocking the Motor Millennials stickers on the side of his car. We really appreciate that support, and hey, you can get your stickers too at motormillennials.com while we're talking about it.
Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah, get some stickers. Stick them on your wall, stick them on your windows, stick them on your car.
Yeah, not your forehead. Not your forehead. I don't recommend the forehead, but yeah, anywhere else. But all right, so we got some pretty interesting topics for this week's episode as we kind of jump back into the podcast swing of things. Lucci, you want to kick us off with the first topic that we're going to hit on?
Yeah, definitely. So big news. NHRA headquarters is for sale.
Oh.
Yeah. For a cool $4.6 million.
Ah, that's nothing.
And the reason it's for sale is because the NHRA is leaving the state of California. Now, I guess what we're going to discuss really on this podcast is, one, are they leaving, or are they really getting kicked out, or is it kind of a migration that's happening, that's been happening for a little bit here? So I guess let's kind of go back in time a little bit to the 1930s. It's when hot rodding really got started in Southern California. That was the area that hot rodding was really founded in. And then, of course, NHRA was founded in 1951. So this is its 70th year, 70th anniversary that it's been based out of Southern California. and their headquarters has been based out of Glendora, California for the last 70 years. And it's only 33 miles from Huntington Beach, California, which I've never been there, but I'm sure it's a nice area, right?
Oh, it is. I've been out in that area before. It's beautiful.
Yeah. So, I mean, I'm sure the decision to leave obviously isn't based off of the geography or the weather out there. I'm sure it's really nice. That's probably one of the reasons hot rodding really took off so well out there, is because really you can race all year round. I mean, it's funny, like now with like Instagram, Facebook, you see guys like Jay Leno and anyone who lives out that way, and they're at car shows in the middle of January. And, you know, while all of our cars are tucked away, but it kind of makes sense why, you know, NHRA got started in Southern California and has been based out of there. Plus, back in the 50s, 60s, I'm sure even into the 70s, a lot of parts vendors, aftermarket vendors were based out of that area, of course, because a lot of racers naturally, you know, were attracted to that area because of all the racing that was going on. I mean, if you wanted to be competitive and win races and win some money, that where were you going to go? You were going to go where the races were. But that has kind of changed more recently, where there's really been a gradual migration out of Southern California. And I would say probably from, you know, since the mid 70s, late 70s, you know, things from a state level have really changed. And the racing industry has changed also. So if you think back again, like we were saying, in the 50s, 60s, it wasn't really easy to travel across country to go to a race, right? I mean, that was, you had to have a really, really reliable tow vehicle. And I mean, it's not like the vehicles that we have today. It's like, all right, yeah, you can get in your comfortable truck and drive back and forth across country towing a vehicle. I mean, the guys that were doing that, I mean, they were really pioneers. And that was not easy. I mean, a lot of them, I think we had someone on the podcast act that was telling us, you know, they broke down halfway across country. I'm sure that stuff happened all the time, probably stranded in the middle of nowhere. No one had cell phones and all that stuff. So yeah, if you're really serious about racing, you went to Southern California, you know, for the most part. A lot of people lived there. But like we were saying, that's kind of changed. And taxes and regulations that have been just on the rise, especially recently with everything going on, has really been driving businesses out of the state of California. And I think the NHRA really sees the writing on the wall. So luckily, the state of Indiana is welcoming the NHRA with open arms, which we are very, I know Zach and I are thrilled to see. One, it's a lot closer to us. Two, it is a central location when you actually think about it, because there are a lot of racers on the East Coast. And I actually drove out for the U.S. Nationals, and it was not a bad drive at all. Now, I'm sure from like Southern California, it's a bit of a hike, but still, there's racers all over the country now, like I said, versus in the 50s and 60s, you might have had a few serious guys spread out throughout the country, but the racing community, you know, it's a lot more accessible to get to places and to tow vehicles, to tow race cars, and just a lot easier than it was, you know, 30, 40 years ago.
Yeah. With the power of the internet and getting parts basically at the, you know, the click of a button, and the way that, you know, kind of how everything's been, it's more globalized, or, you know, more the access to parts and other things, you know, for the most part is a lot easier than it was back then. Whereas then, like you were saying, you wanted to live right where the action was. So that way you could just drive to the stores, get what you needed, and go right to the track. So, and then to your point with California, with all the regulations and this EV push and everything, the NHRA doesn't need to be out there anymore. You know, like you said, they see the writing on the wall.
Yeah. I mean, it's probably, and I'm sure as every business, especially after the pandemic, you know, they're looking at the bottom line, and you know that the what the state's going to do to an organization like the NHRA is not going to be good. They're going to, if they were to stay there, for them to operate out of there, it would cost them so much money. It just wouldn't make sense. There, I mean, they're going to be moving to their headquarters to Hendricks County in Brownsburg, Indiana. And there's a lot of other motorsports outside of just NHRA drag racing that already have large facilities based out of that area. I think, Zach, you were saying prior to the podcast that the state has an IndyCar, what was it, a statue somewhere? Or
the state quarter of Indiana has an IndyCar on it. So, I mean,
quarter, look at that.
Yeah, the state quarter. Yeah.
So they want you spending your money on race cars.
Exactly. Exactly. And I think it's a really great, you know, I think it'd be really great for NHRA to get out of California, because California at this point in time is really like its own country, the way I look at it. I mean, you can't even, as far as what I know, and this could be an ignorant statement, it's getting to the point where you can't even work on your own car out there. Like, you need to take it to the dealer to have all work done on the car. We've talked about in previous episodes with the electric vehicle push that in, was it 2035, California is only going to be selling EV vehicles, brand new, only EV vehicles. Yeah. They will not be selling any gas powered vehicles that are brand new.
Gas or diesel.
Or diesel. Wow. Right. So yeah. Time to get out of there. NHRA, good thinking. Sell that. Take a hit if you have to, and move on.
Honestly, probably I mean, I guess with like the real estate, it'd be interesting. It's like, who in their right mind would move into the state of California right now? You know what I mean? I guess like if there's a business already there and they're buying the old NHRA headquarters, I could see that, but I think we're only just beginning to see the mass exodus. And, you know, I think the main thing is here for us to focus on is the fact that this is an awesome move. And this is reassuring about the sport of drag racing and the NHRA. You know, they're making proper moves. And I think, you know, they have 22 events already scheduled for 2022. And, you know, I think after this move, you know, sometimes when you you're not dealing with regulations and nonsense like that, you can really focus on your business, right? Instead of like having to comply to all this nonsense, you can actually focus on growing the business and becoming better. I think, you know, we're going to see a lot of good things in the future with the sport of drag racing and with the NHRA.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I think it's definitely the right move to make, and I'm glad that they're doing it. And it sucks because the rich history of Southern California with hot rodding and drag racing, that's basically where it started for the most part. You hate to leave that behind, but at the same point, you got to roll with the times and go to where you're going to be wanted, right? So,
Zach, I'm going to say by 2030, the drag racing or any kind of racing is going to be banned in the state. They're going to shut all racetracks down.
It wouldn't be surprised. It's very sad, you know, because we see tracks closing left and right every year, it seems like. So, yeah, it's probably going to be way sooner. I would say it might be before 20. It might be like 2025, 2024, as much as I hate to say it. It pains me to say it. But
yeah, it's like I almost want to. I'd like, have you ever been out to Pomona?
Pomona? No, I haven't. I've been to California 6 times for work, and I actually like it out there as far as like the, you know, the weather atmosphere. And the scenery, the atmosphere, but just their structure is just, it's unique to say the least. I don't want to bash it completely. It's just unique, their decision making.
Yeah. Well, maybe we got to go visit that track while it's still open,
but hey, we'll do a cross country trip. We can be like John Forrest, like how you mentioned how years ago, I mean, he had a station wagon and an open trailer, I believe. So, yeah, you know, maybe we can reenact that.
Yeah, that is true. But yeah, so like I said, it's good news for the NHRA, you know, 70 years and counting. And sometimes, yeah, I always say you got to make moves to make moves. So
yeah, and I wasn't aware of this move, and this news came out like several months ago, right? I mean, it came out in July, August, June, something like that.
I haven't heard much chatter about it. I'm not sure why.
They probably don't want people to feel like Vanatrade is going out of business because they're selling their headquarters and they're moving. So it's probably just kind of like a, you know, keeping it under wraps, not a big deal, but it's something to just be aware of, in my opinion.
Yeah. I wonder how many I haven't been out there. I wonder like how many cars and trophies and stuff they got moved, you know?
I know.
Like that's in the headquarters. I'm sure they got some stuff.
Yeah, I'm sure it'll be a lot.
Yeah. If they need us to take anything off their hands, we're more than happy to.
Yeah, they know where to find us.
Any vintage race cars, drag cars, we'll find the space.
We'll start a museum.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Let's talk about modifying cars and the RPM Act. I think, you know, that's something that's important that we should be bringing to the forefront as well, right, Zach?
Yeah, I think we wouldn't be doing our jobs as corny motoring millennials if we didn't talk about the RPM Act and help, you know, promote and kind of enlighten people who don't know what it is to what they can do and what it is. So the RPM Act stands for Recognizing the Protection of Motorsports Act. So basically what's going on is the Environmental Protection Agency, known as the EPA, they're trying to ban race cars, essentially. They're trying to ban race cars, all basically with the effort of trying to protect the environment, pollution, global warming, all that stuff we hear about, which, I mean, hey, we're not insensitive to those type of things, but for someone to think that it's all about race cars that are causing all this pollution, they're just insane, if you ask me. So basically what the EPA is trying to do is they're trying to ban street vehicles, so cars, trucks, and motorcycles, from being converted to a race car. So essentially, if your vehicle had a VIN number at some point in its life, so it was made from a manufacturer, basically it would be illegal for you to make that into a drag car or any type of race car. So, you know, for example, if you have an old muscle car in your garage that, you know, you tubbed it, have slicks on it, etc., at one point in time, it was a street vehicle. So technically it would be illegal, technically. You know, basically the only way that you would be able to race for it to be legal would be as if it was a dragster or like a tube chassis car that was built from scratch, technically. Another big thing that the EPA is trying to push is they're going to be enforcing against high performance parts. So basically that could be an exhaust system. It could be a tuning system, superchargers, you know, nitrous turbochargers, headers, camshafts, whatever performance part you could think, they will be enforcing against those. That would be a top priority. Again, the whole point they're trying to do is basically say, if you have a street car, you should not be able to modify it at all because it pollutes the environment, et cetera, et cetera. Trying to ban race cars, which, you know, Lucci, how often is a race car run and raced?
30 seconds.
Right, exactly. So basically that 30 seconds of your race car running is what they're saying is polluting the world and is ruining everything.
Yeah.
And again, not trying to bash EPA, but in this case, when you're going after what we love to do and what our freedom as Americans to basically do this thing that we love to do, it's tough.
Yeah. Especially when you know, again, it's not looking at the real problem. Like, we know there's factories, and not only in this country, of course, but, and a lot of these people, and not that we're going to go down this rabbit hole, but a lot of these people that are, you know, that are in support of banning these race cars, they're flying all over the world on large jets. You think those things don't pollute the air? I mean, obviously everyone needs to be able to fly and get around, but there's larger problems. It's not a race car that rides that is on for 30 seconds. You got to focus your attention to some other things.
Yeah, exactly. And so what the RPM Act does, again, Recognizing the Protection of Motorsports Act, what that does, it's SEMA is basically who is pushing that. And it's against the EPA from banning our race cars and banning and doing those restrictions. And what you can do to sign the RPM Act, and I know I've signed it several times, Lucci, you've signed it several times, is you go to SEMA, SEMA.org. And there's a drop down that will say RPM Act. And it literally takes not even 2-3 minutes. You write your name, your email, your zip code that you're from, and then boom, it sends a letter directly to your local, one of your local politicians to let them know, hey, this isn't right, blah, blah, blah. The more people that do it, the more our voice gets heard and we can help fight against, you know, the EPA with what they're trying to do. So again, support the RPM Act. We will provide the link in our podcast description. And, you know, just some other things, like I mentioned about how it's kind of like you're going against our freedom as Americans to do what we want, technically, to our property, right? You buy a car, it's your car. You want to be able to do what you want to it, you know, obviously within means, you know, from an economical perspective, you know, according to multiple research companies, in the aftermarket parts, the automotive aftermarket industry in 2020 produced over $380 billion of value to the economy.
$380 billion.
Yeah, $380 billion, like Dr. Evil, billion. And
yeah, I don't think some people realize how large of a segment of our economy that is.
Oh yeah, absolutely. And it also employs approximately 5 million people.
Right.
So if you get rid of that, not only does that hurt our economy from a, you know, a GDP and from a, you know, cash money flying around, the our ability to spend money elsewhere and buy certain things and whatever, you're also letting go of approximately 5 million people out of, you know, a job. You know, and these are just figures, let alone what it does, you know, for people's happiness or for, you know, people's involvement and their passion, time with their family, things like that. It's just, it would be a very devastating thing to happen, you know, and we relate to it directly because that's how we grew up, was in this, yeah, in this industry, in this world. And it's what we love to do. And we know millions of other people, it's the same way, probably billions of other people. It's just tough to think that a performance vehicle is causing a lot of pollution when they're not run, they're not, you know, they're technically not driven on the street. And technically, if your state allows, you know, for a classic or an antique tag, and if you don't need to have a catalytic converter, for example, in it because of the, how old the car is, there's also mileage restrictions on those cars that you can't drive them more than 5,000 or more than, or you can't drive them at night, et cetera, et cetera. So like, they're already regulated enough vehicles that might have parts that are street legal on them. You know, I don't know. It's just tough. It just seems a little out of this world for people to really think that race cars and performance parts are damaging the environment this much, yeah, that you have to go ahead and ban them. I mean, we've seen it affect businesses. I mean, PRI and SEMA have posted videos of case studies with certain companies that have been gone after and basically being crippled and shut down for certain things, which you can let you do that research on your own. But
you know, Zach, I'd love to find out what these people are like, what these people do in their spare time. Because I'd love to, one, have the time to go after things that like they love and they're passionate about. You know, yeah, like maybe they're in, and I'm not hating on anyone who's in a book club, but like, are they in a book club? Because, you know, they're the ones killing trees.
Right, exactly. Yeah, I mean, get a Kindle or something, for Christ's sake.
Yeah, get a Kindle.
But yeah, no, it's a good point. And you know, and I know there, I don't know the exact numbers, but I know the production and the mining it takes to get the minerals and elements needed to make an electric vehicle engine is also, that's not the best on the environment. I think that might even be worse than a gas engine running
for the environment. What are you going to do with the disposal of them?
Right, that's a good point, because they only last what, about 10 years, is that right?
Yeah, I mean, batteries don't last forever.
They don't last forever. No, so it's just interesting, the thought process.
But behind, you imagine, also, can you imagine the cost to fix these vehicles, how much it's going to go up?
It'll be out of this world.
You're not going to be, I mean, you're going to be, in my opinion, a lot of this is intentional. It's going to cost you, you're going to have to, most people, you're going to have to take out a loan to fix your vehicle. And I'm not exaggerating that. Like that's what it's going to be it's going to be the expense to, because you're only going to have so many people that know how to fix these. I mean, look, that it's happening already. There's only so many people or certain places that you can take it, and it is what it is. If you, or otherwise your vehicle's out of service, you know?
Yeah. I mean, you're, yeah, exactly. You're going to be forced to take it certain places. It's interesting times for sure. But, you know, like I said, if you want to act on this, which we recommend doing, I mean, we do it fairly often. Again, go to SEMA.org, SEMA.org. And there's a drop down that says RPM Act. It will literally take 2 minutes of your time. You know, we post about it fairly often on our Instagram and Facebook stories for people also to be aware of. But, you know, we know if you're listening to this, you love cars, you love racing, you love, you know, performance vehicles. So get on board if you haven't done so already. And if you have, just here's a friendly reminder to do it again and keep doing it.
Yep. Yep. Definitely sign that. And after you do that, make sure you check out motormillennials.com. Get yourself some stickers, put them on your forehead, like we were telling you, or not your forehead, your car, or wherever you want to stick them. And get yourself a nice t-shirt, show off your pride, and support the motorsports hobby. Let us know your thoughts on NHRA's move. Zach and I both think it's a great strategic move to Indiana. So we're excited to see what the future holds. And, you know, I think 2022 is going to be a good year for the drag racing community. So we appreciate everyone tuning in. As always, leave a rating on this podcast, and make sure to check out our previous podcast episodes. We appreciate everyone tuning in. And you can always check us out on Facebook and Instagram at Motor Millennials. And as always, keep on motoring. Hit it.